Hey, welcome to Politico Tech. Today's Thursday, May 2nd. I'm Stephen Overly. Jack Clark has taken an atypical path to becoming an AI company founder. He started covering tech as a news reporter, then hopped over to OpenAI in its early days to do communications and policy work. And now he's the co-founder and chief policy hand at Anthropic, a company that has staked its reputation on building a super safe AI model. They call it Claude. What's interesting to me, Jack sees safety as a way to separate Claude from other AIs, like the ones from his former employer, for instance. And he's been all over Washington, nudging policymakers to regulate the technology. But some argue those calls could help big companies like Anthropic keep a lead over smaller players. I caught up with Jack during his current visit to D.C., ahead of a planned talk on how AI is changing global power. Here's our conversation. Jack, welcome to Politico Tech.
Thanks for having me.
You're a journalist turned AI executive yourself. How do you like being interviewed? Is it weird still being on the other side?
Yes. I mean, we're speaking the day that I go to the Hill and Valley Forum, and now I guess I'm what's for dinner, and I used to be interviewing people that were on the menu.
Right. That's a great way to put it. When I read about Anthropic, when I talk to folks about Anthropic, the company is generally seen as taking a more cautious approach in some ways to AI development than some of your competitors. Also, you know, seen as calling for more stringent regulation. Do you agree with that kind of characterization of the company?
I agree with half of that characterization.
Okay. You know, tell me which half.
So we're building the company on the bet that safety ultimately makes money, in the sense that businesses will want to buy technology they can rely on. We will develop safer, more reliable, and more useful technology, and that will become a selling point over time. And we already see some of that today. So are we concerned about safety? Absolutely. Part of why is that we think it's core to making the technology go well. Part of why is that we think it's just good business to sell the safest systems on the market. When it comes to regulation, we are very cautious here. I think there are lots of people who care about safety who then use it to justify extreme or over-regulation that looks like taking away the ability to develop systems from most people, looks like regulatory capture, looks like
anti-competitive,
anti-competitive
policies. Yeah,
we're really generally against that, and we've actually published some work on this where we ultimately think there needs to be something that looks like product safety regimes for AI systems, just like cars, planes, and medicine go through some sort of testing before they come to market. Something like that is going to happen for AI. Now, the trick is that you need those tests to be small in number and relatively easy to understand, and easy, if you put the right money in as a company, to pass. You don't want there to be some overly broad testing regime which naturally limits the number of players on the game board. And I think that's the challenge which we're going to be talking about here in Washington a lot in the coming years, is how do you strike that balance? You know, the European Union has a big regulatory package right now called the EU AI Act,
right,
which many would argue goes to the quite broad understanding of what safety testing looks like. Obviously, we're not going to do that here, but we're going to do something. And the trick is making sure that that something is actually useful.
Do you have an idea for what that something should be? I mean, is it as developed as like a licensing regime where you have to get approvals to develop high-powered AI models, or is it something less than that?
It's not licensing. It's less than that. Again, licensing is one of those ideas that maybe sounds good in principle, but if you think through the details and you look at most other implementations of licensing, you see huge costs that all businesses have to bear and a drastic reduction in competition and lots of grumpy people. People generally like aren't a fan of this stuff. I think we believe that there will be some narrow set of tests, especially those relating to national security, that you'll need to show that you've tested your systems against. But I don't believe that you'll need to go through a license to be able to deploy your stuff. I think the onus would be on companies to show that they've done this testing. And eventually you'll need to set up some regime to intervene if you haven't done testing and your thing has been shown to cause some kind of harm.
I know you've talked about this idea that this testing needs to come from third parties, especially for frontier AI models, right? That companies alone should not necessarily be deciding when their models are safe. Who is the right third party for that? Is it the government? And what third-party testing do you all do now?
Today, we test out our models for some of these national security risks with third parties. We test them out for being able to use to carry out kind of cyber offense, being able to use to make biological weapons, work on things like chemical warfare and others. Things which you would broadly agree shouldn't be easily available on the internet to anyone.
Right.
You know, we could all agree on that.
But, I would hope.
One would hope. However, I think most third-party testing actually ends up looking more like accountancy than the government testing your models. And by that, I mean, we don't have the government audit the books of businesses. Instead, the government says, if you're like a large company or a publicly traded company, someone needs to check your books. And we need to be able to validate that some entities have checked that your accounting procedures are, you know, normal and you are doing normal things with your money. I think it ultimately looks like that. You know, the good world to be in is where as you become a larger and more successful business, just like the expectation that you have an accountancy firm look at your books, there will be an expectation that some testing firms will do tests on your models to validate that they are doing what you say they're doing. And the job of the government will be to help create that market and create the right kind of supervisory authority to make sure that market doesn't get corrupt or be captured. Because I think anything that involves the government having to do all of this testing, history says that doesn't work well at all. And the only major compare I'm aware of is the nuclear power industry in America, which you may note does not really exist because we've made it incredibly hard to develop this stuff. And we've put government directly between the people building it and the market. And it's made things frustratingly slow, which we're now dealing with.
The Biden administration has set up this U.S. AI Safety Institute. What has your experience been with them so far?
We're in active discussions with them about basically prototyping some testing, where we're going to try and do some tests on our systems with them. And the goal really is establish, are there places where we think the government actually has a comparative advantage in testing that you just can't do through the private sector or through third parties? I don't know what that's going to look like, but the Anthropic way of doing things is let's just run an experiment and generate evidence, because you can have all of these long conversations, but actually just putting some engineers in a room with their engineers and saying, let's do something, will generate a lot more evidence than anything else. So we're trying to do that this year. And hopefully we'll have stuff to report towards the end of the year about that.
Where do you see those experiments ultimately leading? Validating whether it's the government or this kind of accounting type system that works best?
Yeah, my hope is that we're going to discover where the government can feel like it can validate external firms and whether the government thinks that there are any tests that only it can do. Of course, figuring out how to do those tests with a company like Anthropic, which isn't a private classified organization itself, is going to be challenging.
You know, I'm going to ask also based on your accent, you know, the UK also has an AI Safety Institute. They've tried to be a world leader on this. Have you engaged there as well as a US company? Have you engaged with their regulators?
We've engaged with them, and the US and UK recently signed a memorandum of understanding that they could do things that look like tests together. So we're in active discussions there. They are also kind of actively testing our public deployed systems to try and prototype what testing looks like. And again, similar to the US, our goal is just do something together and learn about where it is really effective and where it ends up being really challenging. But ultimately, I think the UK and the US having a MOU is actually a bigger deal than it seems, because it allows us to have something that looks like a mutual testing regime. In the same way that the FAA might certify aircraft and then those aircraft can be sold or fly into other geographies and the other geographies can recognize that they think the FAA does some good testing and they don't need to do all the tests themselves. That's what this kind of sets up.
So much of the discussion right now around AI safety and responsibility kind of comes down to deepfakes. You know, mm-hmm. I think that is what a lot of the public is certainly concerned about, and particularly around elections, which we have a number of in the world, including in the U.S. So do you see the elections happening this year as kind of a catalyst in some ways for regulation?
Well, I'll say two things. One, something surprising will happen. This is just a bet I've registered internally at Anthropic. It's a big year for elections. The rule of technology in elections is surprising stuff happens that was really hard to predict ahead of time, and then you need to take some actions in response. What the companies have been doing, including Anthropic, is trying to get ready for it. You know, we've been building testing systems to help us spot things that look like election-related, you know, disinformation or other things happening on our platform. We've implemented technologies that mean that if people ask about candidates, we stop generating AI stuff and we say, hey, you might want like something that doesn't just generate stuff here. And we try and point people to third-party sources. I think we're going to learn a lot this year. And my hope is that those surprising things happen, they will be things we can learn from rather than things that are seen as like catastrophically bad. Because it's clear that this is an area where you have to get things right. And we have to figure out what the actual safety interventions are that deal with problems. One thing I'll note is that Anthropic works on text. We don't generate images or things you might call deep fakes, but I guess we worry about text fakes in a similar right. way, and it uses similar technologies to try and intervene.
What's your bet on what that surprise will be?
Oh, the bet I registered was in, I think I wrote in italics, something surprising will happen. I don't, all my bet is, as I'm saying, we should expect,
something will happen.
We should expect to be surprised. We should work really hard to build systems that help us monitor what happens on our platform so we see stuff. We should work with other companies and with, you know, governments to understand it. But I think here a moment of kind of like humility is deserved. And you should just acknowledge that you're dealing with large scale technologies. People are going to use it in all kinds of ways. And as a company, your job is to like track all of those uses. And if any of them seem concerning, rapidly figure out what to do.
You know, I've perused a bunch of your social media mm-hmm. leading up to our interview. I know that you're not afraid of sort of bold takes and bold opinions.
Yeah.
I'm curious, because already it feels like some of the AI safety conversation has become talking points.
Mm-hmm.
What's not being discussed now that should be?
I think that something I struggle with is that if you look at regulation, good and bad forms of regulation always come with the form we should protect people or we should protect the children. Like we should do something for safety. How could you disagree with this? And something that I'm increasingly nervous about is that people are very conscious of this. And so genuine concerns about safety are going to be muddled up with safety used as a means to actually like capture regulation or to come up with ideas that most people would agree are overly controlling or bad. And when we talk about safety, we should also be talking about sort of power and who benefits from these different safety things. I mean, that's why Anthropic is in this odd position where we genuinely believe in these safety issues and advocate for them. But for that reason, we're actually being very careful to not advocate for very specific like regulatory interventions around safety beyond some what I think of as like minimal and reasonable testing, because we're aware of this natural suspicion people are going to have about us because of that position we're in. So I think that's not being discussed enough. I think it would actually be good for everyone involved to try and be real about the underlying power dynamics here and what they are advocating for.
You know, for the power dynamics you're talking about and making sure folks don't get shut out, I think so much of that comes down to money, right?
Mm-hmm.
Access to capital. And even some of the emerging players in this space, Anthropic, OpenAI, yeah. have gotten capital from legacy players in this mm-hmm. space, you know, the Googles and Microsofts of the world. What's the solution to that problem if, you know, you want to have a competitive business environment that is so dependent on large amounts of capital?
Yeah, there is a specific solution here, which we advocate for, which is that the US government should invest in a so-called national research cloud. Now, what is a national research cloud? It is a large subsidized computer. It could be taking DOE supercomputers and letting startups access them. It could be somehow subsidizing the use of cloud computing. Now, you are not doing this for like all businesses. That would be very expensive and very crazy. You are doing it to help people make the transition from research ideas to startups, where for some of this work, your initial compute outlay is going to be several million dollars to prove that it works at scale. And that's an area where today there's obviously a challenge in raising that amount of capital to generate that initial access. I think if there was some government subsidized compute, it would sort of help startups cross this chasm from research to having a promising prototype. And we generally support that here. I'd note that the UK, Canada, other countries around the world are all finding ways to subsidize compute for this reason, because they recognize that that's the sort of table stakes for generating initial evidence of success. And we believe that if we do that here, we'll have a better startup ecosystem as well.
You know, I don't usually ask other folks to do my job, but you're a former journalist, so yeah. I'm going to put this to you. What's the question that needs to be asked right now on AI that is not getting asked?
I think it's that people sometimes hear the leaders of all these companies, including Anthropic, talk about artificial general intelligence, and they assume, rightly, that this could just be a marketing term or part of a big narrative these people are telling to make their companies successful. Sure, some of that's true, but all of these people that lead these companies really believe in a thing called AGI and really believe that this technology is something they're trying to build and would have really significant implications. And I think in the media sector, we've been burned so many times by blockchain or big data or all of these like tech fads where people made huge world-changing promises, didn't really pan out. The world is still like extremely normal. Blockchain hasn't altered like my daily life and so on and so forth. I think AGI genuinely might be different, or at least for people building this technology, believe it will be. And so I think confronting that head on and saying like, well, how do you think it's different? And if it's like so amazingly powerful, why do you think it's just going to be done by companies? Or why do you think you're the one that like should make the shot calls about it? That could be valuable to do.
I mean, I guess a trick question, because I'm going to turn it back on you, I guess, because if AGI is as real and something that can be achieved as people talk about, how far off is it and how should people be preparing for that future?
So the main thing we need to do is we need to be building a kind of non-regulatory monitoring infrastructure. And what I mean by that is I've talked about how Anthropic is testing out our technology for national security risks. I think most companies at the frontier should be doing that. And there should be some form by which a third party is getting that information and maybe passing that to governments. Because if this technology continues to get better and better and seems like it could trigger those national security risks, I think your incentive as a company isn't to say, good news, everyone, our technology triggers a national security risk. Your incentive is probably not to say that. So we need to build the measurement and monitoring systems today that mean that companies don't have that opportunity to perhaps forget to tell people that rather salient thing. And my belief is that, you know, that it's very hard to make a prediction of exactly how far out this is. But I will say that 5 years ago, an AI system could maybe generate a paragraph of text that was vaguely useful. Today, an AI system can generate a 200-line code fix for a complex software project that works extraordinarily well. It can write you multiple pages of very coherent text. So in the next 3 to 5 years, I think there's, you know, a better than even chance that we have really, really powerful systems that trigger like non-trivial economic uses as well as national security uses. And we need to be prepared for that, because if that happens, of course, there will be companies and there will be like large businesses to be built, and Anthropic will be one of them. But also there are going to be real questions about governance and the role of government and the role of kind of democratic societies. And we need to make sure that we're getting that information ahead of time and we're not just relying on the companies deciding to tell us that.
Well, Jack, we'll have to check back in with you on this march to AGI. But thank you for being on Politico Tech today.
Thank you very much for having me.
That's all for today's Politico Tech. For more tech news, subscribe to our newsletters, Digital Future Daily and Morning Tech. Music in today's episode comes from the mysterious Breakmaster Cylinder. Our managing producer is Annie Reese. Our producer is Afra Abdullah. And our editors are Steve Heuser, Daniela Cheslow, and Louisa Savage. I'm Stephen Overley. See you back here tomorrow.